Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'ari. We are learning Lilu Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Fred, Miriam Beschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHosham. May her Neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. May she be a advocate of Torah, Mr. Sovis, for her whole family. So we are on page 179, please. No, we're really on the top page 180. I'm just going to read the last sentence on the bottom of page 179 just to recap where we were. I don't know if people were here, they listened online, etc. Some of you were here. What we spoke about is the language of the neshama versus the language of chitzonius, the language of the soul versus the language of externality, and that in order to understand Olam Haba, in order to understand Gehenim, in order to understand Dvarim Shebikedusha, what we need to do is talk of the language of the neshama and not the language of the soul, not the language of the body, because if you talk the wrong language, then of course you cannot understand. So that was a recap in less than 1 minute of what we spoke about last time. Bottom of page 179. Once you have that awareness, you must have a ratzon, a will, a desire for perfection. So we said last time, Shani said it, and then the Mechaber said it, that there's only one thing that's perfect in the entire existence of creation, and the only thing that's perfect is the Ribono Shel Olam. You must have a Ratzon, a will, desire for that perfection. When you have true Ratzon, you will fear lest the Ratzon not be fulfilled, right? So you will fear, if you have a will to accomplish something, fear will be motivated by the fact that your desire should not be fulfilled. Top of page 180. To what can this be compared? A person is invited to a wedding. He wants to be there for the ceremony. That's so funny. We're just talking about wedding. Which is called for 7 p.m. A bus is leaving at 6. He knows if he catches it, he'll arrive on time for the ceremony. On his way to the bus stop, he's quite a distance. He sees the bus approaching. So it's not so shy a way to get to the wedding anymore. And also even in Eretz Yisrael, has anybody used the app Move It? A great app tells you exactly when the bus is coming, which buses you need to take, how long it's going to be till the bus is coming, but pretend you don't have a ride, pretend you don't have Move It, pretend you're not driving and you're on a way, so the bus is quite a distance, but you see the bus approaching, he begins to fear he might miss the bus. This is true in life. You know they say sometimes you're so close yet so far to accomplishing a certain goal, you feel like you're almost there, and then the Yetzer Hara just gives you a setback. You've almost done it, you've almost accomplished, and then for some reason you had a setback. The stronger his desire to be at the wedding, the stronger his fear of missing the bus. Do we understand that there's a relationship between your ratzon, your desire to accomplish something, and your yira, your fear? Make sense? Yeah, the stronger I desire, the more afraid I am. Let's say a person goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells the person that he is pre-diabetic, and if he does not change his diet, and start eating healthy and exercising, and I mean, you may know people that this have happened to, it's very not uncommon, and then he might end up with diabetes, and he's going to need medication, he might get very sick, so it depends how strong his ratzon is to stay a healthy person. It depends how strong his desire is to stay away from medication and the ill effects, chas v'shalom, of diabetes, in this case when it's preventable. I'm not talking about when it's not preventable, etc. So you might fear that you might miss the bus. The stronger the desire, the stronger the fear. Conversely, the less you care about getting to the wedding, less trouble you will be about missing the bus. It's true about anything. It's true in relationships. If you're cultivating a relationship, the more ratzon you have for it to be positive and healthy, the more you fear it might not work out. But if you don't care, then you have no ratzon for it to work out. In fact, I've heard Zahava Farman many years ago, but it's something very profound that she said, that one of the stages of grief, is anger. Right? There's shock, there's denial, there's anger, the stages a person goes through until they come to acceptance. So what does it mean to be angry at Hashem? You know, I've heard her say today, the person says, I don't want to daven today, I don't want to make breakfast today. I'm not talking about when a person is an onen chas v'shalom, it's when a person feels an anger towards the Ribon Shalom. So she says, anger actually proves you care very much about a relationship with Hashem. Why? You're only angry when you feel someone hurts you, when you care about that person. Think about this. If a stranger makes a casual, snide remark, you might be upset for a very short term, but you don't hum and haw and think and feel and cry over it. You don't know this person. You don't really care about them. They said something in passing that hurt you. You go home and you move on. But if somebody you love or you expect that they should love you hurts you, it hurts. And you feel it for much longer. And it causes you a great degree of pain. Why are you angry? Because I thought you loved me. How could you do that to me? That's what a person in mourning will do. may feel, there's not one right or wrong thing that works for everybody's Ava says that you see in the Torah, everyone has different reactions, everything is acceptable. Reuven's tearing Kriya, Yaakov is crying, Yehuda leaves his brothers. There's so many different reactions and ways of dealing with pain. But one of the stages a person may go through is anger. But what does anger show? Anger at Hashem, I mean. What does anger show?
Connection.
What?
Connection.
Connection. You're really saying to Hashem, in any Nisayan, forget the most extreme Nisayan of mourning, in any Nisayan, when you feel angry at Hashem, what are you saying to him? I thought you loved me. If you love me, how could you do this to me? If you did this to me, I'm mad at you. What do you think? Why would you do this, Hashem? I thought we're in a relationship together. So she says it's actually a very healthy, normal stage of going through a process of grief. She says grief is to any trauma. Trauma does not mean the most extreme. Trauma is something that is outside of what we feel to be normal. It doesn't have to be the most extreme. Trauma could be the diagnosis, chas v'shalom, of a child, of a special needs child, of the ultimate diagnosis, something that shakes you up. But anger at Hashem means I have a ratzon to be close to you, Hashem. I thought you loved me. Now, it's something we have to move past. Obviously, we have to move past this, but we understand that the stronger our desire to be with Hashem, the stronger our fear of something breaking our relationship with Hashem. Okay, what's going on, ladies?
Hi.
Ladies?
Hi.
What, you want to share something?
No.
The stronger the desire to be at the wedding, the stronger his fear of missing the bus. Conversely, the less you care, the less troubled you'll be. Do you understand the mashal and nimshal and what I'm talking about? The less you care about God, so you're not going to be angry, because why? It means you don't care. If you care, it means you might have these very strong feelings. What it really means is I want a relationship, just like you want a relationship with the person who hurt you. It's so true if you think about your personal lives and people who may, chas v'sham, have hurt you. The reason you care so much is because you're supposed to love me. And if you love me, this isn't how we have a relationship. But that's why we're so bothered. So too, vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you really care about Hashem, you're going to be troubled about missing out on the relationship with Hashem. Here too, the stronger and more manifest paragraph 2 on page 180. Here too, the stronger, more manifest one's ratzon for closeness to Hashem, the more you desire to be close to Hashem, the more he will fear doing anything that might detract from that closeness. Conversely, the more concealed the ratzon, the more hidden the desire, the weaker the fear that might not be fulfilled. You know, just a comment, and I started almost all of my classes this week on this. We do things because we want to be close to Hashem. And I know everybody was following the story, and I'm sure you saw videos on WhatsApp, and you read about it just like I read about it. And we all know that Rabbi Reuven Bauman, Zichrono Livracha, Alav HaShalom's body was found on Sunday. And I'm sure that you all followed what I followed. Everybody was davening for him. I saw last Thursday that the Coast Guard said that they're giving up the search. I saw that the statement that they actually published saying our condolences to the family, he was very brave and he was a hero trying to save these boys, which he did, but that they were not willing to put in their time, their resources, their money, their manpower, and their effort into what was a recovery and not a rescue mission. And frankly, it makes sense. They understand that they don't want to spend the time and the money. They don't understand the sensitivity of being Jewish, the demands of halacha, and the fact that we do not abandon Jews in our time of need. And then actually what's fascinating is that they did not call off the search, because when they saw Achiezer came and Chai Leifai came and Misaskim came and Hatzalah came and Jews from across the eastern seaboard came with their ATVs, said the rabbi, and with their jet skis and with their boats and with their planes, they said all these strangers are coming, how could we call off the search? So I don't know if anybody saw the video of the rabbi speaking in the shul. Subsequently, four different people sent it to me, actually. Subsequently, I got a WhatsApp that said, don't forward it to anybody. I don't know if you saw that or did not see that, but before I saw that, I watched it. Four people sent it to me, so I watched it. But one of the things that the family rabbi said, I don't know if you saw, is at one point the Coast Guard came in. Did anyone see this part?
Yes.
The Coast Guard came into the Jewish command center, whatever it was, and he started crying. And he said, I don't understand you people. I want to be Jewish.
Aww.
He came in, he said, in his full uniform, and he was, the word that the rabbi used was actually bawling. He said the Coast Guard officer, whatever he was, commander, in his full uniform came in, and he says, what are you Jews all doing? You're looking for a stranger? You're giving up days of your life? You don't even know him. He said, I want to be Jewish. And we have the strong ratzon to do ratzon Hashem. The more we care about doing Ratzon Hashem, the more we care about our relationship with Hashem and Ben Adam Mechaveiro. Yes, were you going to say something?
Yeah,
Susan, were you waiting to say? Oh, sorry, I thought your hand was up. So from the terrible loss of life and the tragedy comes a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, and that is what we say, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. And it struck me a few months ago that there's something very profound going on here. Maybe I said in this class, I don't remember. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, give thanks to Hashem because He is good, called the Avad Rachman Latav Avid, whatever Hashem does is good. That's Ki Li Olam Chasto. You know, it's very interesting. We for sure said before, Lo Olam is forever. Olam is world, and Ne'olam is hidden. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, give thanks to God because He is good. Ki li olam chasto, even when He is hidden, ne'alam, when I cannot understand what He's doing, chasto, even there is Hashem's kindness. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain here? Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, you see the good and you give thanks to God, but sometimes the good is ne'alam, sometimes the good is hidden. Ki li olam, even when I see din and it's hard for me to see the rachmim chasto, even there His kindness is. And from a matzav like this, we really see a tremendous amount of divine chesed in divine din. And the Kodesh Kodesh said, had he not been Jewish, he would not have been found. Okay, let's go. What is that?
They're painting.
Okay. There's a big difference between knowing something intellectually and having a strong ratzofar. Anyone, I'm being serious, who has tried to eat more healthy, or exercise more, or lose weight, knows how true this sentence is. There's a big difference between knowing something intellectually. I know that it's, I'm totally not making a joke.
No.
I know it's important for me to exercise high impact cardio 5 times a week. I know I should not eat 3 pieces of apple crisp. Apple crisp is a big problem for me. I try not to have it in my house. There's a big difference between knowing something and having a strong ratzon to not eat this dessert. I'm really not making a joke. Anyone who's internalized the truth of the Ram Chazars, I went to his Tzion Kever, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. The only true perfection is attachment to Hashem, like Shani said last week, only Hashem is perfect. Anyone who knows this, knows and believes the whole reason we exist is for closeness to the Creator. And therefore, sometimes you don't understand what Hashem is doing. It's Ne'elam in this Olam of Kis. Sometimes you might feel disconnect, but that really comes because I care about Hashem. I want to be close to you, Hashem. This is so hard for me. If you love me, what are you doing? We all know this. The question is, how strong is our ratzon for what we know? There are people who, unfortunately, I know such a matzav going on right now. Shamir Achim, there are people who know that smoking is very dangerous. You can't say today that we don't know. We know. There are people who know you should wear sunscreen, who chalila might end up with skin conditions. There are people who know you should wear seatbelts and they don't. This is so true. How strong is our ratzon for what we know? I know I should be close to Hashem. I know I should daven every day. I know I should daven better. I know I shouldn't talk in shul. How strong is our ratzon for what we know? If all we have is information, we will not have a strong connection to the level in this question. We won't fear not achieving it. Intellectual information is not enough. You need to stimulate the soul. For example, there are many people who know it is very important to know the entire Talmud. Okay. And yet, they could be idle for 5 hours at a time. It's so fascinating to consider, even myself, I want to learn this safer. I want to learn that safer. I have them at home. I want to learn through Nevi'im. Oyvei. Ali Shabba Kol Kuvad. How's it going?
Getting through.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. And yet, it's frightening to think how much time I waste on other things. It's like a terrifying thought. You could be idle. Well, Baruch Hashem, I don't have such a situation, but a person could technically be idle for 5 hours at a time. Why am I not doing something more productive with my time? Even though it is obvious they could learn a lot of Gemara in those 5 hours, or say a lot of Chumash, or recite a lot of Tehillim, or Daven, the knowledge is removed from their ratzon, and thus it does not lead to any practical action on their part. And this is why people don't change. This is why I don't eat healthy. This is why I don't exercise. I know it's better for me. I can't do it. If the knowledge is internalized, then desire and aspiration will be evident. Any obstacle to achieving it will be forcefully opposed and overcome. And really, I wrote in my notes, there's a huge distance between what we know and how we act. There's like a whole universe often between what we know on the one hand and how we act on the other. And that's part of Galus, and that's part of Korban. Sorry. We're coming up to Shivasar B'Tammuz, when part of the curse and the klala of Galus, is of exile, of Korban, of destruction, is this disconnect from Hashem. It's very hard. It's very hard to find Hashem. It's very hard to take our ratzon, our knowledge, and put them together. Did you want to say something, Renati?
You know, I think, yes, it is easy to waste time, but there's another...
Excuse me.
There's another problem, and I think that people sometimes say, well, if I can't do this perfectly, if I can't daven 1 hour at a day, then all bets are off, and then I shouldn't do it at all.
Very nice. So what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that, first of all, I think people have to make time, and that if you're time starved and you literally only have 10 minutes to daven, okay, so you have 10 minutes to daven, so it's better than ignoring it altogether.
Right, it's very smart. All right, so that's part of the Yetzer. If you can't do it the whole way, so then don't do it at all. You know, last week I was talking about, in a couple of Shiurim, including one on Shabbos, one in a different community, Moshe's Ka'as, because according to the Rambam, Maimonides, what was Moshe's sin? It wasn't striking the rock. It was becoming angry at the people. Listen, oh, you rebels, from this rock, do you think I will bring forth water? The Rambam's Lashon is very, very strong. The language of Maimonides is very, very strong. He says this behavior and a man like this was a chilul Hashem. And the people did not think he had any deficiency in character. And you could look it up. It's very strong Lashon. I'm not saying this. He says his sin was ka'as. Litzad har gazanus, he turned to the side of being hot-tempered, and there was a reasonable demand that people were asking for water. Hashem wasn't angry. How can Moshe become angry for this? He was banned from Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to what you're saying. People think if we can't be perfect, we shouldn't do it at all. So in Shir, in a different community, so someone said, but we're not Moshe Rabbeinu. So I said, that's exactly the wrong thing to say. Because if you think you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, then it thinks it gives me permission to act with deficiencies of character trait. Oh, Moshe shouldn't be angry about me. I'm talking about at other people. I have every right to lash out at other people. I have every right to be short-fused. Because I can't be perfect doesn't mean I should not do it at all. Maybe sometimes I will be angry. Maybe sometimes I will lash out inappropriately. But doesn't mean I shouldn't even try to control myself. The Chavetz Chaim said, quote, brought down in the biography by Rabbi M.M. Yashar, just because a person cannot be perfect does not mean he should not strive to be good. Just because a person cannot be perfect does not mean... So Nancy's right. If you have 10 minutes, so don't say, Mark, no, Davin, you have 10 minutes. So what are you going to do with those 10 minutes? I want to... Anything else? I want to quote from Rav Shimshon Pinkas in his Torah V'Kinyana. Torah is your soul. In our generation... And by the way, this relates also to what we were talking about. Yes?
Sometimes also, like, people can put another person on a pedestal. Like, not just Isha Antonov, not just Moshe Rabbeinu, but even, like, let's say a friend. Oh, yeah. She could do that.
You're right. So what are you saying?
Saying that people do it to each other, and then they think that that they're excluded from getting there or trying to get there.
Like, oh, because they view other people as more capable than them.
Yeah, she's just so sensitive. She's so fluffy. I'm not a mind reader. I cannot do that.
So that's what some people, it's funny because I have the book here, that's what a number of people actually mentioned, I don't know, to me or to others, about the Henny Malchus biography, that they didn't want to read it because it made them feel inadequate, they could never be like that, and therefore they didn't want to read it. That's wrong. So maybe I can't have 200 guests, but maybe I could have two. Let's say I went from having zero to having two, so that's a big mila. Doesn't mean I can have 200. We should use...
It doesn't exonerate, I don't know if that's the right word, a person from trying.
Right, which is really what Nancy is saying. Lo alecha hamlecha ligmar, velo ata ben chorin li batel mimenu. You might not be able to finish the work, but you are not free from at least trying to accomplish.
And yes. And in Yiddish, you get credit for the effort anyways.
That what?
You get credit for the effort.
Yes.
Well, I also read that Moshe did not understand the generation. When he got out of Egypt, when he hit the rock, they were used to being hit, but when they came out, they were more refined, but Moshe didn't understand that they were different people.
So that's one of the interpretations.
So that's another, yeah.
Yes, that he was talking to a different generation and he needed to know how to adapt the message to the new generation. I was specifically talking about the cost. One second, please. So what I want to quote from Rav Pinchas, Torah V'Kinyana in chapter 7, welcome. Is it raining already? Is it the traffic and the rain that... Okay, Schar Halicha Biyada.
I drove with it. It was fun.
Okay, Schar Halicha Biyada v'Schar Masa Biyada. Here she is. Okay. In our generation, we find certain things. I'm quoting from Rav Shimshon Pinchas. In our generation, we find certain things that are very beautiful, but their beauty was produced artificially. Remember last week we spoke about seeing the real beauty and not the artificial. Although recent times have seen a certain return to nature, there are so many things synthetic. Technology has shown virtually everything can be produced artificially. Listen to what I just said, last two sentences. Although recently we have seen a certain return to nature, there are still so many things synthetic. Technology has shown virtually everything can be produced artificially. So I want to tell you a true story. In my Monday morning tefillah class, something came up about why Nun is omitted from Ashrei. So the Gemara says, I'm sure you've heard, Nun represents nefilah, falling down, as in the Pasuk, Nafla lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen, she will not continue to get up, O daughter of Israel. So we ended up having a whole word on this related to Churban, the Nun and Churban, whatever. So my phone was on airplane mode as a recorder, so I said to the person next to me, can I have your phone? So I typed into Safari, she has fallen, she will not continue to rise, virgin daughter of Israel. So I said to everybody, oh, it's almost 5-2. So I said, you know what the Rav calls that? Synthetic Bekias. Baruch Hashem, Rashi did not have synthetic bikias. What did Rashi have? He true bikias. If you need a puzzle, can you where I was from? This is exactly what Shimshon Pinchas says. Technology has shown virtually everything can be produced artificially. If you want to quote a puzzle, I was not hiding anything. I was in front of the woman. Everybody knew that I was looking it up, like on the encyclopedia today. But everything can be produced artificially, even to a degree Torah knowledge. Even Torah knowledge. We see a beautiful cabinet with all the colors and hues of wood, but it's not wood, it's formica. Fabrics, food can be produced artificially. We have yet to see a synthetic human being, says Rav Pinchas, but they're working on it. How can we tell the difference between real and artificial? And we become so confused by what is real and by what is artificial. What does real have that artificial doesn't have? How could you determine, says Rav Pinchas, if an apple is real or not real? One thing is take the seeds and plant them in the ground. If it's an artificial apple, what will happen? Nothing. Something synthetic has no fruit, no offspring, no continuation. If it's real, if it's natural, then not only is it an apple, but it's capable of producing other apples. Elon, Elon, b'mava, rachacha, tree, tree, with what shall I bless you? If it's a true tree, then all of your fruit shall be like you, real. There's another test. This one is quicker than planting the seeds and waiting to see if they grow. Let's say a person would volunteer to eat these apples. He eats one apple, another. They're delicious. They have the fragrance of apples, but are they real? After a couple of days, he starts to feel weak. He has a vitamin deficiency. If he only eats artificial food, he might end up at the doctor. The doctor will say, what's your diet like? He says, well, I eat bread, peanut butter, jam, bananas, apples, but I feel malnourished. Why? He's not eating real food. We could feed our souls, but if we're not feeding them the right language and the right avoda, in the level of the soul, we'll feel malnourished. You know, so many times, I just read about another story. You know, in Mishpacha, they have the real life stories as retold too. So often you see it, that people who either mostly grew up without a Jewish education are searching. So they go around the world, they go to this temple, you read these accounts, they go to that temple, they try this religion, they try that religion, they feel so unsatisfied. Why? Did anyone see the story this last week's Mishpacha that she became associated with Christians at college? Okay, yeah? Why? But why is there feeling of dissatisfaction? Because you're feeding the soul the wrong thing. You could be feeding your soul. You had it. But they're fake apples and they're fake bananas. This is because it's not real food. It looks wonderful. It might even have flavor. Remember smelly stickers when you were a kid? My gosh, the strawberry shortcake stickers and the pizza stickers. So they were fantastic. It smelled good, great, but you could eat the stickers and what's going to happen? You're not going to get calcium from cheese and carbohydrates from bread. And what's in tomatoes? There's something very healthy in tomatoes, actually. What?
Lycopene.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. Why? Because it's a smelly sticker. It does not sustain your health. A few years ago, I found my sticker book in my parents' house. It was like a yanta for me. Here you come to a very important point. I'm just joking. No, I was very happy. It wasn't a yanta. Which we must be aware of juice. We can comprehend the notion of artificial food. We've just given some examples. It is smell, it is taste, but it doesn't supply nutrition. You know, here's a better one than smelly stickers. Now they sell candy in every shape imaginable. And oh, nuts. They sell fried egg candy. They sell cherry. It's two cherries with green on top. Candy. They sell fried egg candy. What else do they sell? Sure, they sell all the fruits. What? What did you say?
The marzipan.
Marzipan. So you could eat all those olives. You're going to have vitamin deficiency and your teeth are going to rot. But you could say I was eating apples and I was eating cherries and I was frying eggs. So why are your teeth falling out? You don't have the protein from anything. It's true. So says Rav Pinkas, what about, and it's in quotations, artificial Judaism. I'm not saying this. Attainment of Torah. Do we realize there's such a thing as artificial Judaism? A person could behave as a proper Jew for 70 years. He keeps all the mitzvos. In a certain sense, his Judaism is not real because he lacks the neshama. His soul is not being fed properly. Everything in the world is a body and a soul. By the way, this idea is not exclusive to Judaism, says Rav Pinkas, because it's universal. When a person dies, everyone knows the soul, the life-giving force, leaves. The body needs a life force. A real apple goes on a tree. It has a soul, in a sense, that makes it alive. A synthetic apple does not have a soul. It doesn't have a life force or growth. What does this have to do with Judaism? Chazal say the world stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chassadim. I just gave a whole shiur on this day, and the knowledge based on Rabbi Reuven, these three mitzvos are the neshama of Yiddishkeit, Torah, Avodah, today's tefillah, prayer, Gemilas Chassadim, acts of loving kindness for other Jews. A person might conduct himself as a good Jew. He could eat matzah, he could hear shofar, he keeps all the mitzvos, but if he doesn't learn Torah, it's artificial Yiddishkeit. And if he doesn't daven, the world's not being upheld. And if he doesn't do acts of Gemilas Chassadim, it's a problem. Life without tefillah, life without Torah, life without chesed is life without a neshama. Without these three, it can be artificial Judaism. We don't have a soul. We lack life force and we lack eternity. We have to ask ourselves, how strong is our ratzon for these three things? You know, just tonight at the table, my children are Baruch Hashem wonderful, but they're also normal children. So I was telling them over something I heard in a shir today on my drive back and forth to Flatbush. I listened to of Shai Shir. So I was telling him about taking medication on Shivas Arbatam. It was very, very, wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It was extremely interesting. Okay. He said he's making a complicated sugya very short, so I'm making it even shorter than he made it. Don't paskin any halacha from what I'm telling you, okay? I'm just telling over what I heard. And if I say it wrong, you could correct me, but I don't. He quoted Moshe Feinstein. His father of Herschel Schachter, can a person take medication on a fast day? By the way, big important message, this is not about Yom Kippur. He's talking about Tainios Dirabbanan, instituted Zecher L'Churban. This has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. You must ask your own Shaila. It's a totally different category. Can a person take a pill on a fast day? We're coming up to Shuvah Sarva Thomas. He says every single year they get these shilas, so I guess I don't know how many people come to him and how many people listen online. He said, let's just clarify this so you could save yourself a lot of time. You save the rabbi time, you don't have to call them. So he quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm not talking about some out of the pale rabbi here. I'm talking about the Gaonim and the Gedolim. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Mivrach, and his father, Shlita of Herschel Schachter. So a pill is not considered food. Chazal discussed a case of a person eats a non-food item, a piece of rubber. Have you considered like you broke your fast? So Shai said, I don't know why anyone want to do that, but let's say somebody wants to do that. So they eat this piece of rubber. So now are they fasting? Yes, it's not food. Let's say they're so stuffed that it's achilas gasa, it's gluttonous eating. That next bite is not considered really eating because you don't really have a ratzon for that food. A pill is not food. A pill is not food. And therefore, one may take up, and he said he's simplifying, so I'm for sure simplifying, but I'm just telling you what he said, correct? You may take a pill on a fast day, not Yom Kippur. So now the question is, what about water? Can I take it with water? So some of you may be aware of this. I was aware of this in advance. That the Shulchan Aruch says if a person drinks water, not because they want water. Water is the only substance, because it doesn't have nutrients like orange juice. It's the only substance that if you drink it, not for the purpose of taking water, you're choking. So someone gets you water. You don't want a drink of water at that time. You're choking. You don't make a brach on the water. This I knew before. If you're taking a pill, you don't make a brach on the water. You just it's not orange juice, which would give you vitamin C and maybe potassium or whatever else they put in the orange juice. You don't make a bracha. Therefore, in the case of taking a pill on a fast day, not Yom Kippur, the pill is not food. The water is not being drunk because you want water, and therefore you may take a pill with as much water as necessary to get the pill down. Mm-hmm. He said very carefully, you cannot drink a bottle of water, you cannot drink a cup of water, enough needed to swallow the pill. The pill is considered in the Lashon of, I think, the Shulchan Aruch, something stuck in your throat.
Yeah.
And he said, if it's not stuck in your throat now, it's going to be stuck in your throat soon. Therefore, you could drink the water. Okay, good, without taking a bracha. Fine, without making a bracha. So someone asked, I didn't hear the question, but based on the answer, someone of us have asked, what does it mean taking medication on a fast day? Like, okay, someone has a heart condition versus someone who has a headache. So he said, obviously, someone with a chronic health condition, this is what they're allowed to do. This is the psak according to the Gedolim. But he said, anyone who has a headache, did you know this before? Anyone who has a headache on a fast day, he now is a chola, not Yom Kippur, he may take Tylenol or Advil with a small amount of water. You knew that. Did I say it right? Yes.
There's also this year it's a nidcha.
I can't hear what you said.
This year it's a nidcha, which
it has nothing to do with a nidcha.
Okay, but it does
make more. No. Being very clear, this has nothing to do with the fast. That is a pushed off day. Shivas Arba Tamis is the Shabbos. We're fasting on the 18th Tamis. No. No, either Rabba. This is the din and the halacha for a regular fast day. Some ha'asiri, some gezalia, some ha'ravi'i, shivas arba tamuz, some ha'chamishi, tisha ba'av. This is the din for fast. He was not talking about a nidcha. Be very clear. This was not some make-up position. He was quoting the Gedolim. I found that very, very interesting. Every fast day, my husband gets a very, very bad headache. And we always say, okay, sorry. Rav Shai said, befeirish, that if a person has a headache, he may take Advil with a small amount of water. You don't like it, call him and ask him to clarify. I'm telling you what he said. It's on Y, Torah. You could go listen. What was my whole point in bringing this up? I said it correctly, yes? What was it? Okay, Baruch Hashem. I was telling it to my bar mitzvah boy. I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Let's go on. But now you just learned something important, halacha, yes?
But I can, what I think, my takeaway from this is that you're not drinking water, if you're taking Tylenol, you're not drinking water for pleasure. It's
right.
Actually, it's therapeutic. And
no, not that it's therapeutic. It serves the purpose of pushing down something that's stuck in your throat.
Okay.
Not therapeutic. You probably will not be able to take water for that reason. Not therapeutic. The pill is not considered food. It's considered, quote, something stuck in your throat. I don't remember the lashon, as if a bone was stuck in your throat. Someone gives you a cup of water to help you dislodge what's stuck in your throat. You drink as much as is necessary to get it down.
But
not therapeutic.
But with Yom Kippur.
Careful.
And water,
no,
I've read
not
there's
not,
a different...
Not Yom Kippur.
A different fast day.
It's
different.
If you want to
hear the I said that three
that
times.
Really
careful.
You could go on YU Torah or I could forward it to you.
Yes,
right.
I said you could listen, but I specifically said this is not about
Yom Kippur.
Okay, so everyone learned something very interesting. Let's go on.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, hence, where am I up to? Okay, page 181, second paragraph, or first, whatever, first full paragraph. Hence, there are three stages to achieving Yira, this reverence, this awe of God. Clear understanding that the reason we exist is to attain closeness to the Creator. It's the only reason we exist. Translated, who else, where could you find another people who would go, talk about Chesed Shel Emes. No wonder being involved with a mace is Chesed Shel Emes. The mace cannot pay you back. Nobody knows the names, except for the friends of the people who went, and they searched for days, and they searched for hours. It's to be close to Hashem, really, to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. Why are we doing Chesed? We just heard of Pinchas, who quotes Pirkei Avos. The world stands on Chesed. Judaism without Chesed is fake Judaism. What does Chesed bring me to? Not benefiting somebody else when I do Chesed. I am, but Lamaisa, I'm enhancing my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to be close to you, Hashem. Translating that understanding into a consistently intensifying ratzon, you have to want it very badly. And finally, clear awareness that sin contradicts this ratzon for closeness to Hashem. What's a direct contradiction of coming close to Hashem? Sin. Rav Soloveitchik says, Chatasi does not mean I sin. Chatasi means I failed. Does everyone remember that? We quoted that here before. Good. Good that you remember. What does it mean I failed? I failed in attaining closeness to Hashem in this specific situation. I sinned. Sin is a barrier. We're not so far from Elul. It's the middle of Tammuz. Scary to think about it, but it's true. It's not so far. Sin is a barrier. What does that mean? I am one degree removed from God. I am not as close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Sin contradicts Ratzon for closeness to Hashem. Sin means I failed. I put up a gate. I put up a fence. I'm farther away from the palace. I can't see the king anymore. A person could want closeness to Hashem, but barely feel that sin prevents it. If, when a person would speak Lashon Hara, you would feel, and the Gemara says, there's not a sin that does not at least have avak Lashon Hara in it. He would feel he's destroying his spiritual sensitivity. His ear would be much stronger. Isn't that true? How much negative, Rechman Alitzan, comes out of a person's mouth? Why? Do you feel you're destroying yourself when you speak negatively? No, we don't. We would have a much stronger sense of yira. But this is precisely where Hashem tests us. I read something beautiful. It was also Mishpacha. But this is, when I say this, it's like all different weeks over like a long period of time. I think it was brought by Ephraim Shapiro. He's from Florida. So he spoke at a gathering of seminary students who were leaving Eretz Yisrael, just going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure. Whatever. He said a beautiful var. Moshe had difficulty with three things. Does anyone remember what the three things are? By each of these three things, it says Zeh. We just had one of them.
Isn't it something with B'nai Sofa? He forgot something around...
That's when he became angry. That's Rashi to end the Bamidbar. Three times Moshe became angry. Balakval Ka'as, Balakval Ta'us. I just brought up the cinema and rewrite. He came to the category of anger, he made a mistake. There's three different things that Moshe did not understand how to do.
The menorah.
What?
The menorah.
Oh, very nice. One of them was menorah. One of them was by the laws of kashrus, Hashem needed to hold up, so to speak, hold them, the animals, zeh, asher lo tochel. It says zeh, when it says zeh, like, by Bnei Yisrael, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Zeh Keli Vanvehu, this is a cup of water means, not I have a cup, what is this is a cup of water? I am showing you a cup of water. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, this month is for you. What does Rashi say there before? It's the beginning of Perek Yibbeis in Shemos. What does Rashi say? Her'ehu levana b'chidusha. God showed him the moon. HaChodesh HaZeh, Moshe didn't understand. When do we declare a new moon? So Hashem said, HaChodesh HaZeh Lacham. This month is for you. So HaChodesh, menorah, very nice. And the last one was, I think, Shiratzim. Not I think, Shiratzim by Kashrutz. Creeping things, Moshe didn't know to do. So Ephraim Shapiro pointed out, look at Moshe's name. Mem Shin Hei. Moshe, Mem, menorah. Shin Shiratzim Hey HaChodesh HaZalachem. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
The essence of a person's godless is overcoming the things he struggles with. Kaviyachos, if we could say it's a thing, it's tremendous. Moshe, Mishpacha is great. It's not only current events, you actually learn a lot from it. A lot. And then Baruch Hashem, I'm able to reteach a lot of it. I believe Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro said this at a gathering of seminary students. Moshe's essence, his godless, his greatness came from his essence. What's his essence? The things he struggled with. Menorah, it was hard for him, so to speak. He didn't understand. He needed to be shown. He needed to be guided. He needed explanation. He needed to work to understand it. Menorah, Shratzim, HaChodesh. Why? Because a person's greatness comes from overcoming the things that he struggles with. If everything was easy, people wouldn't be great. It would just be easy. Where does godless come from? Struggling, not understanding, working hard, asking God for clarification, trying to understand, working some more, and then I overcome. That's all in the sentence. This is precisely where Hashem tests us. But from the test, we could reach the greatest heights. We could all become a Moshe Rabbeinu from overcoming the things that are difficult for us. This is precisely where Hashem tests us. Exactly at the moment when we're tempted to do something wrong. Exactly, that's when you can grow the greatest. Something whispers in our ear, go ahead. Success is guaranteed. Don't worry, you'll never be discovered. Don't worry, another chocolate truffle. We went to Dick Carina Chocolate Factory in the Golan Heights. It was wonderful. Mm. Has anybody been?
Yes.
It was great. They show you the back of the chocolate factory. They give you a platter of chocolates. There's tastings. There's word chocolates. There's a store you could buy. Go ahead. One more chocolate. It's not going to make any difference. You already ate so much already. You tasted the white. You tasted the dark. You tasted the milk. You tasted with the biscuits. So eat the orange flavor one also. You'll never be discovered. It'll never affect you. In other words, the very force Hashem himself planted within us to test us makes us feel the way of the wicked is successful. And that's the Yetzer Hara, by the way. The Yetzer Hara makes us feel that the way of the wicked is success. Go ahead, nothing will happen. That feeling is not limited to material success. In the end, whatever sin we commit, the inevitable result is distance from Hashem. Because sin is failure. What did we fail in? Becoming close to Hashem. And Rav Shem Shor Falhirsch says, I'm not going to quote it inside, but on Parag Gimel, when Isha listens to the Nachash, when the woman listens to the primordial serpent, what was he telling her? Be like me, be like an animal. When an animal sees something, when an animal desires something, what does the animal do? He takes it. But we don't blame the animal. That's normal. The animal is supposed to act according to instinct. So if the hyena sees the kill that the leopard made, what's the hyena going to do? If he's able to, he and his pack take the kill that the leopard made. That's not bad. What was the Nachash really saying to Isha? Af ki amar Elokim lo tochal mikol yitzagan. Did God say not eat from it? Rav Shem Shor Falhirsch says he was saying, listen to your animalistic instinct inside of you. Do what makes you feel good, what smells good, what tastes good, what looks good. Just take it. Why not? And when she listened, the Yetzer Hara moved in. He used to be external. And when she listened and she ate, now forever we contend with that Yetzer Hara who moved in. Be like an animal. Do what you want. Forget Bechira Chafshis. Forget weighing checks and balances. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Do whatever you want. That's the answer. The way of the wicked is successful. And in the end, whatever sin we commit, the inevitable result is distance from Hashem. Let's finish the last paragraph. Therefore, even if you have a clear awareness that the goal is closest to Hashem, you're aware and you have the strong desire to attain, there's still no guarantee the Ratzon itself will generate the desire, fear of sinning. It's absolutely true. I am aware that the salad is better than the pasta for me in Greg Cafe. And I am aware that I have a strong Ratzon to eat the salad over the pasta. Is there a guarantee that I'm not going to order the ravioli and the rosé sauce with hot chocolate, with melted chocolate in it? No. But I know, and I have a Ratzon.
But we'd never do that after inflation.
But what?
We would never do that after a fleshed meal.
Okay, but that's because it's almost like our teva. I don't know if we could even get credit. I mean, I hope we'll get some credit for it. But it's not like you have a taiva for it. The stronger the taiva.
I know, I have a taiva right now by your description.
You have a taiva what?
I have a taiva by your description, and after I have a fleshed meal, so I just can't.
It's not a real taiva.
But
it's not the same thing. It's not, for us, it's not the same. Hashem rewards us. This heart, Moshe, remember, his essence is those things that were difficult, kaviyachu, for him, that he overcame. It's not really a nisayon for you in the way that other averus are nisayonos. It's just not. No one here has a strong taiva to order that after a hamburger. Yeah?
Yeah, I thought the menorah was Aaron's thing. Maybe that was why he didn't know so much about it, because that was Aaron's.
No, Moshe had to make the menorah as part of Malachus HaMishkan. He didn't know how to beat it, so Hashem showed him in fire. Oh, 1 second, we're not finished this paragraph. That is, you can desire closest to Hashem. You may not sense strongly enough how much a sin contradicts the desire. It literally opposes and prevents its fulfillment. We're going to finish this top. You must therefore know and internalize two facts. The purpose of life is to be close to Hashem. Sin opposes that desire and closeness. Each of these elements requires, ain't that the truth? It's a whole life. Mm-hmm. You have to work your whole life. Briefly, we will attempt to deal with them to the extent possible. I wish everybody a very wonderful Shabbos and a meaningful Shivas Rabbatamas and an easy fast. And if you need medication, apparently, as we described it, be careful, you may take it.